welcome everybody. This is episode 68 of the Case in Point podcast.
Very long.
I'm your host, Justin Case. And today, I'm back to assist me in today's episode, our good co-host, Ponch. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm back from my decades-long sabbatical.
Yes, you were helping to repopulate the wombat species.
Yeah, it's a very delicate species, but they're back strong.
Yes, disease-ridden as ever, yes. I like your Ponch is wearing a Zookas and IG-88. And Forlom, yeah, of course.
Yeah, man. Got this from, what did I get from? Some loot crate years ago. I don't know if it was like the Marvel one or Star Wars. I don't remember, but yeah. It's nice and comfortable. Thanks, man.
Yeah. So that's really neat. And I'm a big fan of Zookas because he breathes ammonia. Hence the mask. Forlom, of course, is a butchered, what you want to call it, kitbashed version of a protocol droid. So if people would look closely at Forlom's construction, you'd see that's like a C-3PO, but it's got a different droid's head. So I like that. I like that cobble-chucked type of imagery. And IG-88, of course, ended up merging his CPU with the first Death Star before it blew up. But you'd have to read the Death Star paperback in order to know that. But at any rate, segue right off the bat. So, Ponch, I want to talk to you today about some of the upcoming cosplay things you were working on, maybe some projects you were thinking of. And then after that, we'll roll into some of the toy news and things of that nature real quickly. And we'll go a little freestyle today. So what you got on the what's in the pipes?
When was the last time I talked to you? It was before
7 months ago.
Okay.
Episode 66. Well, yeah, you talk on this messenger thing here, whatever it is, the Skype, it said 7 months ago.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it was
probably, really. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So last time we talked, I don't remember if I started or was in the middle of doing my Shocker costume. So I finished that for Comic-Con. It wasn't like a super complicated cosplay, but since the shows were canceled in like 2021 because the current world stuff's it was like a good way to get back into the rhythm of building stuff again.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And what was cool is that about a month before New York Comic Con last year, it was like the first weekend of October last year, a coworker of mine, he also cosplays, and he introduced me to this guy. He's like a huge name in like the cosplay scene, I guess. I don't know if here in the East Coast or just in general, but he had an idea for this photo shoot where he chose, well, this guy normally dresses up as Spider-Man, like the different iterations and stuff, and he had this idea of doing this photo shoot of Sinister Six, and he chose me as one of the not, the lineup wasn't based on anything, he just I was chosen. He also had a guy dressed up as Scorpion. So it was myself, Shocker. There's Scorpion. There's Sandman. My coworker was Lizard. This lady did Mysterio. And the sixth one. Kraven. And
cool.
And a couple of weeks after Comic-Con, he had the photo shoot in Times Square, so it was really weird because I had never taken part of a photo shoot like that, let alone in like a highly populated area like Times Square. But once he started shooting, it just kind of like I sort of didn't think much about the people around. Like they would stop, take pictures of us and stuff while we were like in between shoots. So it's a very long day, but it was very fun and very interesting. So that was pretty neat. So yeah, this is sort of like catching up to where I'm at now. So I have a few ideas in the pipeline. Well, a few years ago, I started a Phantom Armor from one of the Legend of Zelda games, and that went unfinished. So I'm hoping to try to finish that either for a show next month or just to finish it for this year. I don't know when exactly, but the two costumes I'm looking forward to doing is the Lightyear suit from the new Lightyear movie coming out, where it's kind of like a more realistic take on how Buzz Lightyear looks, and just, I guess, is sort of his origin-ish story. So planning on doing that. And Mezco Toys has this really cool their version of Mr. Freeze, so I want to do that also. But that's going to be like very detailed, very complicated. Not complicated, but it's very, very involved costume. Yeah, something I probably have to start like soon to have it done by like Comic-Con. And Justin's back. He was invisible before, but now he's got a... What background is that anyway?
I'm having... Oh, there we go. I'm back again. I hate this client. It sucks. And I wasn't paid to say that either. But if I wasn't... I think it's cool that you've got some things in the pipes. I think it's really, really important for people to have some things to look forward to and work on. You gotta stay focused on something, for crying out loud. Yeah, get, man, off the friggin' Netflix, for crying out loud. It's just, work on a project, create something. It doesn't have to be anything special even, but just occupy yourself with a project. Don't sit on the couch eating Cheetos and, well, I gotta get through this series. No, you don't. Go do something. That's my Jerry Springer final thought early, okay? It's just, now I overdo it with projects, but I like being busy and working on stuff. I'm a doer. I'm a worker. But anyway, that's my soapbox.
Well, I'll be the first to admit, I love being lazy.
It's great once in a while. I tell you though, man, if I let my foot off the gas, it's not going back on. So I just keep it on all the time.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, for me, I I'm all about balance. So, you know, when it comes to, especially during like cosplay crunch time, I'll spend literally every day working on it. But as soon as it's done, man, 2-3 weeks of just doing nothing, it feels great. But right. Yeah, for me, it's just, I have to compartmentalize like crazy scheduling like that, and then have time where I can just give my mind a mental break before I go on again.
That's important as well. Yeah, I'd like to have something to show for my life, though. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, this guy was into this and whatever, you know, and he's a really creative guy and everyone liked his stuff and blah, blah, blah. Ponch, go ahead and turn your mic up, too, if you get a chance.
Oh, crap.
You're a soft-spoken guy, so I'm Mr. Loudmouth Foghorn Leghorn, so I don't need to really worry about it.
Well, how about now?
You're further away.
Oh, that's weird.
Is your mic built in? You got a laptop or something?
No, I'm going through my iPad.
Well, your iPad's too far away.
No, I have my headphones on, so it's weird that. How about now?
Don't worry about it. I'll just fix it in post-production.
Like this big shot. Look at you, man.
Yeah. Here I am. Yeah. I got a pop filter. It's funny. It looks like it's on a stick because this stupid cheesy office background thing on here.
Yeah. What background is that?
Oh, it's like some generic Skype office. Like you're in a house or a whatever. It's stupid.
A villa.
It's something. It's a villa I don't own. That's for sure.
Yeah, man.
But at any rate, Ponch is going to be making a Mandalorian suit for me.
Oh yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, that too. And by the way, you'll be getting the funds for the materials and your time for the project today. So I got it cleared by committee. So
the council approves.
The council approves. The banking clan. The banking clan will sign your treaty. So thanks nice. To you, Poggle the Lesser. This is stupid.
This is Case the purse.
Yes. You see how I'm in industrial Birmingham. I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
I'm going to Yorkshire later on.
Yorkshire. Yes.
Yeah, man. But yeah, another thing, I might mention this to you yesterday. I don't remember. Yeah, we talked off air for a while yesterday, catching up. But I'm finally getting into taking some 3D courses because I'm considering also buying a 3D printer soon. So I figure having 3D knowledge, so I can just model and mold and stuff. And yeah, I'm going through a lot of not a lot, but like going through some courses so I can change my work situation and hopefully become better for me, I guess. But yeah, the idea is that I'd like to use that as part of the build process when it comes to cosplaying. Like there's some stuff that I don't mind doing by hand, but it can be time consuming, especially like really ornate, intricate stuff. So I could just print it and, you know. Yeah.
You got me thinking. I'm going to send you my bust size in the mail.
Oh, goodness.
It's a little tight across the chest.
It's going to take a custom cup here, sir.
Custom cup? I didn't want a female Mando suit.
Manda?
Well, you understand we had to accommodate the Dunlop. Yes. We'd have a special. There is a. Now, I'm not trying to be mean here, but I'm just going to tell you something. Uh-oh. I probably should leave it off air, but there is a term for. You know, I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you offline.
Yeah.
it blew me away. I'm like, there's a term for that, you know? So I showed it to my wife. We got a kick out of it. Yeah. It was like one of those TikTok shorts or whatever. I'm like, what the frig is this? It's on. I have the Instagram page, the Case in Point Instagram page. And well, you'll find a lot of my brother likes to say, he goes, was it figure photography? LOL. But I do some of that on there. It's not anything fancy, but it's the Instagram page is doing great. It's just taken right off. I post more stuff and use the I pay attention to what kind of hashtags I'm using, and it's Hasbro or whatever. There's a variance, and you look at the ones that are tagged the most, and it's great. It's a lot of fun, and I've got a lot of more. I have tons of pictures and different things I'm going to be posting on the Case in Point Instagram page, so keep an eye out for that. And I just acquired some late 90s Star Wars, the 12-inch. I'm going to be cracking those babies open and letting them breathe, you know? So I found there's a guy in Spokane on Instagram. It's called Spokane Action Figures. He's got some cool stuff. Check that guy out. And he actually, a while back, he had some Spiral Zone stuff, and I should have snagged that. But here's what I did get from him at the Spokane Inland Toy Show Classic. I actually got an in-box sealed Coleco Rambo. It's a Savage Strike headquarters, the General Warhawk and all the bad guys. It's huge. And I picked that up. And for me as a little kid, you know, in 1986, 87, that was like the cat's meow. And what and speaking of cat, there's I think it was one of the members of the Force for Freedom, their cat. She was the lady who had the black suit and then the grapple hook and the dual Uzis. She had kind of like the Wonder Mop hair and stuff. And it was a really cool figure. I got it at a Woolworth, and actually that's long gone. I mean, it's just gone. All the pieces and stuff got lost probably within a week. So yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go and start. You have to kind of piecemeal that one together, 'cause she's kind of rare. So, but I have, you know, anyway, so I'm building up my Coleco Rambo collection again slowly. So, but you'll be seeing those on the Instagram page and a lot more vintage toys. And so stay tuned for that, 'cause it's going to be awesome. I'd have a lot of fun doing it. I'm actually not bad at taking different angles and shots, so just something I'd like to do. You'll find too, folks, that if you get into a hobby or something, I don't like to call it a hobby, I call it a pursuit, because it's a little more, I think, passionate than just a hobby. Hobby is like, well, I like to, you know, collect rocks and have a pet rock family or something. That's fine, you know. But I think if it's something creative, whether it's drawing, photography, music, anything that's artistic, I think is more than just a hobby. It's a pursuit. It's a passion. You know, no matter if you're doing it for a living or not. So, but yeah, that I'm having a lot of fun. I never really thought much about that stuff. And I remember when they had the Toy Fair magazine, and there were some others in the 90s that had some awesome, they'd put the word bubbles on there, and it has some really funny stuff. It, you know, kind of had that Robot Chicken kind of feel. It was great.
Oh, the
Wizard magazine, I think, had a small segment in there. I might be mistaken on that. I'm not a big enough comic book nerd to know the difference, but
I think it was pretty cool. I think it was called a Twisted Toy Fair Theater.
I knew a comic book titan like you would know all the terminology.
Titan, thanks.
Yeah, I'm a dabbler.
I think it's been a while, but I want to say it started off in the main Wizard magazine, and then when they had the Toy Fair magazine that spun off of Wizard, I think that was like a permanent feature on that magazine. So where they use like the Mego figures and kind of did like a Toy Fumetti type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of it was pretty funny. Some of it was kind of either over your head or jokes didn't land too much, but for the most part, it's pretty funny.
It got kind of obscure with some of the jokes. Like, I don't need to hear jokes about Wet Works or, you know, like Pitt. I don't need to hear jokes about that.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a crap. I don't. I was kind of a nerd. Not a nerd, sorry. I was a snob when it came to indie brand comic books back in the 90s. And you can not like me if you want, but I was a little kid, so I get a pass. But it was like, I only cared about Spider-Man and like the mainstream Marvel stuff. I didn't even like DC. If it wasn't Batman or Superman, I didn't care. I'm like, I don't care about Big Sur. I'm not going to read this. You know, Jody's probably wants to drag me behind a horse, but I don't really give a crap. I don't care. What I should say is I don't give a crap about some of like those characters in DC. They just didn't do it for me. And I wish I'd gotten into more characters like, you know, Justice League and stuff, but I was so like busy. Like when you're a kid, you know, you're like, well, I only got enough scratch to like buy these comics. And so you can't like collect everything. But as an adult, it's, you know, it's gravy for adult comic book fans, 'cause they can just go get whatever. But, and I was into sports cards too, so I was kind of spread a little thin, but anyway. So that's cool. I'm really excited to see that you're getting, or actually hear that you're getting into back into getting some more props and stuff built. And so it'll be awesome to see those. And I look forward to seeing those on your Instagram page. Ponch has an Instagram page. Check it out. What's your handle for the Instagram page, Ponch?
All right, let me bring it up just
a second. This is Eli?
No, it's give me a quick second. I should know this by heart by now. It's on both Instagram and Twitter. It's space_dyedvest.
Oh yes.
It's a very cosplay name too. So, usually I'll post most of the image based stuff on Instagram, of course, but I'll try to also post it on Twitter. But you know, since it's been a while since posting, well, I still have a bunch of images that I have from that photo shoot I talked about earlier. I'm just kind of like slowly trickling it out there, because I don't want to put it all there at once and then have no content to post after that. But it's been a few weeks since I posted my last image on Instagram, so I should probably post some more. But yeah, usually, especially when I like really, really deep into starting like the builds and stuff, I'll post a lot of work in progress shots. Kind of like a visual log of, or yeah, visual journal of what I've, you know, where I started to where I finished. And what's neat too is that, because of that photo shoot and, Like a lot of the people, like the other people that were part of the photo shoot, they had a lot of followers. And it's not that I'm, you know, I'm not one to go after tons of followers. If people follow me, great. If not, then, you know, whatever.
Same here.
I don't care.
But well, if your work's good enough, they're going to come to you. So,
right. Exactly. And what I took, what was cool is that two of the guys actually part of that photo shoot, they wanted to see some of the components of my costume, because they wanted to see if it was actually 3D printed or not. And, you know, when they found out that, you know, I fabricated everything by hand, they were really impressed, because like, wow, we could have sworn you printed this stuff out. It looks really good. So, so, you know, that and the combination of like those people from that photo shoot also posted images from that photo shoot as well. So, you know, there was like a short period of time where my follower count, you know, more than doubled. But what's cool about it is that because of that, you know, I'm getting feedback. You would get feedback from people when I post, like, say, whips and, you know, works in progress. And, you know, it's like, oh, wow, this is great. Keep it going. You know, just a lot of, like, you know, positive feedback, or, you know, you'll have people asking how I went about doing certain things. So, you know, all the information I learned to do this stuff is free, so I don't mind sharing it either. So, yeah, if you want to take part in that, yeah, check my stuff out on Instagram, and we'll converse.
Ponch is very humble, but I can tell you right now, I'm blown away by what you're able to do with the fabrication and everything. I mean, especially the boots. I mean, to see the markups and how you're scoring all the measurements and the dimensions, it's just, that's serious business. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, man. You know, speaking of boots, so what Justin's talking about is that for my cosplay builds, I usually build the shoes from scratch. Because there's a lot of you could take, you know, at any shoe you have and just add onto it, you know, and then once you're done, just slip off the pieces so you can have your normal shoe back. But I usually, I don't remember when I started it, but for like the past 3 or 4 costumes, I've been building the shoes from scratch, and they're super comfortable, especially when you're like standing on your feet for hours on end at shows. They're super, super comfy. But, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I've been considering changing my name to the Cosplay Cobbler.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think I'll do it, but toy with that name. But, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, any people out there considering cosplaying, try it out. It's a lot of fun. Don't expect to do, like, a exquisite costume first time around, because I don't think anybody does, unless you're super... super good. But, you know, it's still a fun learning process. You can see yourself getting better over time. And, you know, I try to, like, with the two costumes I mentioned earlier that I'm going to be hopefully starting this year or making for this year, I try to do stuff that has some sort of element of you know, challenge to it, or things that I haven't done before, or maybe I might have done before in other costumes, but, you know, it may be more efficient, or using like new techniques that I learned or whatever. So I try not to do anything repetitious or anything that I've done the same before, or try to do something new and, yeah, try to challenge myself.
As opposed to a Cooper who's a barrel maker.
Wait, what?
You said you're called yourself the cobbler as opposed to a Cooper who makes barrels.
Turn your mic off, man.
That's the official industry term for someone who makes barrels. So all you wine tasters out there, you might be interested.
Cooper and the cobbler.
Your special jacket and everything. Anyway. No, but I mean, with the cosplay stuff, like, especially seeing your if you want to call them production photos, really, or in process, you know, you're not messing around with that stuff. I mean, and you have to be precise. You have to measure things. You have to be precise for if you want something that looks decent, as opposed to, you know, an art project you did in the first grade. So and it's not going to hold up. That's the other thing, too. The durability and the functionality has to be there. And that's just another reason for you have to be comfortable to wear these things for hours, sweating your cojones off at a con, you know. And
yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things you have to consider.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story real quick. The first costume I made, I don't remember how far back it was. Maybe like, I don't know, 2017, 2018. It was a, there was a video game called Fallout 4. It's like a post-apocalyptic game. And I played, well, you create your own custom, you know, player avatar in the game. So my costume was based off of that. And in the game, you like salvage certain pieces to make armor or just, you know, things to help you protect as you protect yourself as you go through the wilderness and stuff. So I built that based off of, you know, like the main character you would create and some of the basic armor you'd find in the game. But it was a huge learning process because so I had these pair of Timberland boots that I hadn't worn in years, and I figured, well, can't let them go to waste, so I figured we're, you know, use them for this costume. And the sole was made of this like weird foam that I guess after a while, if those shoes haven't been worn, which what happened to me was that on my way to the Comic-Con that year, the soles actually started like falling apart. Like the chemical makeup of the foam of the sole just was, in some reason, it just started falling apart as I started wearing them. And by the time I got to the train station, literal blocks away from the Javits Center, I had both my shoes had no soles. So and at the time I was dating this girlfriend that I called her up and I said, yeah, can you buy me some cheap pair of sneakers real quick? Yeah. And she's like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah, I have no soles. My soles are completely gone. I'm waiting at this train station for almost an hour. My feet, there's nothing. The only thing separating my feet from the ground was like the inner sole cushion. Yeah.
You're in a New York City train station.
Yeah.
New York City, everybody, just picture this.
Yeah, and mind you, like, there I left a trail of like bits and pieces of like boot shoes all over the place. So there's like a small trail of like bits and pieces here and there leading to where I was standing at. Super embarrassed, and people were looking at me like, you know, what's wrong with that guy?
Why is he wearing a thing, let alone why is he walking around all weird like a zombie?
Yeah, I was embarrassed. So that's one thing. And then, of course, being that was my first costume, I had, you know, I didn't have the idea of like budget as far as, you know, having to spend however much for materials and stuff. So I had a lot of pieces joined together with Velcro. So I thought it was smart to, you know, to be frugal with the amount of Velcro I would use. And so I would use like these little like squares of Velcro, you know, maybe like inch squared pieces. And I would, you know, I would join armor bits to other armor bits, or, you know, pieces of armor to the like the cloth part of my costume. And
nice going, cheapskate. That's what happens.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Cheapskate. So, but the thing I didn't anticipate, because I did a like a loose fitting at home before going to the show, and everything seems fine. Everything
right?
stayed in place initially. So I, you know, and I thought it was okay, great.
Oh no, that's the rookie error, right? You're like, hey, everything's good.
Oh yeah, let me tell you, man. Let me tell you. So the thing I did not anticipate at all was the amount of sweating you would do wearing this costume, especially if you're wearing it all day. And the amount of body heat that your body, you know, emits because of you sweating so much. Oh. And the Velcro pieces I had, it had an adhesive back. So you can, you know, put one behind one piece of armor and then attach it to your clothing. And since they were such tiny pieces and the heat was kind of like making the adhesive on the Velcro soft. So some of those pieces were literally coming off of my body. I would just like kneel down. I'd see like a knee pad on the floor, so I'd kneel down, pick that up.
You're melting.
And a piece of armor, another piece of the costume would fall out of place. So I would adjust that, and another piece would fall, you know, fall off, and then I have to adjust that too. What a nightmare!
Yeah,
it was terrible, man. And then on top of that, I'm trying to make sure my costume isn't friggin' falling apart. And another thing I had no idea of was that some people, I guess you would say they would kayfabe lines from like whatever you're wearing your costume for. So I'm wearing this costume, I'm doing like this weird like
it looks like I'm ham boning my entire body trying to keep my costume intact. And this guy walks by me, recites this line from a character in a game, and I look at him, and he's like dead serious. He's like in character.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was really weird, and I just kind of look at him. All right, thanks, man. I'll see you later, and just kind of walk away.
He was really into it. Like that was the, yeah. Well, that's funny because lesson learned, folks. Glue does not like heat.
Yeah, and
normally if you want to get something with like Gorilla Glue or any type of adhesive, you want to get that baby off. You're going to heat it up, and it looks like you had a nuclear reactor. You know, level heat in there.
Major tip: don't be very liberal with your Velcro. Very liberal.
Do you put vents in anything, like maybe in discrete areas to let some of that heat out, or how do you get around something like that?
So
wear lots of talc.
Yeah. So yes and no. So well, some pieces I'll try to have as loose, not loose fitting, but kind of like loose enough where heat can escape a little bit, so I'm not like sweating the entire time. I mean, it's the sweating is inevitable. It's just part of, you know, the costume wearing. But being able to have like exit points so that the heat can dissipate somehow, so you're not sweating as much, helps a lot. And you know, going back to being liberal with your Velcro, I use like very generous pieces, you know, amounts of Velcro, so that I mean, the contact between like armor pieces, sometimes that even sometimes I'll overuse the amount of Velcro I use, but knowing that I could always readjust it and not worry having to worry about it falling apart, it saves heartache, man. It saves a major, yeah, it saves a lot of stress on your part trying to readjust all the time. But but as far as like the heat though, going back to the shocker costume I made last year, the helmet I made, I should have had like holes, sort of like vent holes, put strategically on the helmet, because the heat just stayed in the helmet, so it just felt like a sauna on my head. And on top of that, it was like the acoustics they sucked.
Right.
Because I can hear people talk to me, but they couldn't hear me talk. It's not. People have told me that it sounded like I was muffling. Like they can't really hear much of what I was saying.
Well, it's like the David Prowse Vader, where they were going to use his voice and it was muffled and he was too English.
Yeah. Well, my voice wasn't English enough, but even if it was, what sucked was because there was no way for my voice to come out properly.
Right.
It was just like vibrate. Like it was just echoing the entire time inside. So I would try to speak louder, and I would like almost go deaf because nobody else would hear me. I'm trying to speak much louder, but it's just the sound is just staying in the helmet. Well,
and that's a good reminder, because that Boba Fett, I bought like the Hasbro prop replica Boba Fett helmet. I just got it in the mail, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago. And I'm going to put a small microphone in there. And so I'm going to put a little tiny 1-inch speaker on the outside, so it sounds just like Boba Fett. Where because like on the show or even in the movies or anything, he's like, as you wish. He's just like, he's in that little compressed box sound. I'm going to do that.
That's cool.
And then I'm going to make one for Will, but he'd probably sound like the Mandalorian is like a 10-year-old kid. But
yeah, he inhaled some helium.
Well, that was the thing. I let him wear, like, he's got the prop helmet for his costume for the Mando. It's my fat head doesn't fit it, but the Boba Fett one's awesome. It's perfect for me. I got a fat pumpkin head, so always have. And the other thing too, my skull in the back, it actually, I look like one of those people on the higher Egyptian hieroglyphics with like the long back skull. I've got a long skull in the back, and so some of those helmets, it's like, it's really uncomfortable.
I can imagine, man.
So it's like, I have an Iron Man. It's the War Machine helmet where the faceplate comes off. It's all electronic sounds for like the eyes light up red, and then it makes the sound when you put the faceplate back on. And they did a great job on these. I got to tell you, for mass produced, it's got magnets on it, so it's like a perfect lock. They did a great job on these. And you spend a little bit of money, but you get what you pay for, and it's fantastic. I'm a huge fan. So, I really take a risk when I buy those, because it's not like they really give you measurements for your head. It's kind of like you buy it, and if it doesn't fit your head, it becomes a conversation piece. So, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a movie room. I'm going to have a home theater actually set up like a movie theater, like a cinema. And I'll have another place built, but I'm going to have another place built. And then we're going to have the theater is going to be downstairs below elevation. So it's always going to be nice and cool, right? And so I'm going to set up, we're going to have relics in there. So I've got like the Eye of Agamotto's on the way. All the shipping's, it's slowly getting better for ordering things off like Big Bad Toy Store and Amazon, places like that. I'm not paid, by the way. They're not affiliates or anything. That's where I get my
crap. They should be, though.
Well, you know. Well, the golden voice like mine, you'd love my advertising.
The Fraser Crane of toys.
Boy, could I sell a bag of prunes. So if you want to get back on track, don't go with Metamucil. Get yourself a large bag of prunes. Anyway. But yeah, no,
it's brought to you by BBTS.
Yes, no, they sell prunes now. But I have like two Captain America shields. I've got the one from the Winter Soldier and Falcon TV show. Well, if you want to call it a TV show, I have that version. But then the classic comic book Captain America shield. So I have both of those, and those are they're heavy shields, man, and they've got real leather straps. And those aren't going anywhere. They're really high quality. And both, I have like three different versions of the Infinity Gauntlet. So I have like the Tony Stark one. I have the original Thanos version, and I have the Nano Gauntlet. And that Nano Gauntlet's cool because it's got the gems you can put in there, and it makes a difference. And it lights up too. They're magnetic. I mean, it's great. I couldn't believe the quality that these things are. And so, you know, I've got Mjolnir. So I'm just going to like make like a relic room is my plan with these. So, and I was such a big fan of the Falcon and Winter Soldier series that I went out and bought the shield for that as well.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And then I've got the Mark III helmet coming for Iron Man. So, yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Yeah. I hope to, once I get comfortable enough with using a 3D printer, I want to, I mean, of course, you know, like I said before, I'll be doing, hoping to do like some of the more complicated pieces, having 3D printed, but I'd like to also like print stuff. Like, it'd be really cool to like, another idea of mine is to make my own custom action figures and also,
I'll get you, my brother-in-law is actually doing both. He's got a lot of experience with his 3D printer. Now, his is a smaller one where you'd have to make the parts in sections if it's a large piece. But I'll get you in touch with him because he knows a lot. And also, he's actually made figures with resins already, and I have those. Okay. And those are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're the Remco style. You know the Remco style ones that are 5.5 inch? They're like the vintage He-Man kind of relative size, but they are the resin's really easy to work with, man.
So. Yeah, well, so I've done a lot of research on because the type I'll be getting just to start off is PLA, you know, it's the one we have like the nozzle that prints the lines,
right?
But I'd also want to get a resin printer because you know there's obvious differences between the two and also different ways of taking care of prints once you're done with them. So but I'm you know kind of excited about getting into that and. You know, kind of seeing if that goes anywhere as far as you know, toy production or just prop making and that kind of stuff. So, and just like random stuff like on my the apartment door I have there's like a peephole and there's no cover on you know on my end of the door, so that'll probably be one of the first pieces I print. Kind of boring, but you know, utilitarian type stuff, you know.
No, that's great, and you could actually make. I got some replacement parts for my Trans Am for like interior trim pieces. I got a cup holder that they've 3D printed, And those cars never came with cup holders. Like my 83 Trans Am never had one. So this one actually screws into the center console and it looks like it was just, it was factory. It looks like a
That's
factory.
Cool.
Yeah. I just got it from my wife's side. Cause I don't want a cup holder on my side. Cause I'm going to have the switch pods and the steering wheel and all that. It's like, I don't need a drink when I'm driving, but if she wants a coffee or something, she can go have it, you know?
Yeah. No distractions, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, and on that front, I'm going to be, I've got the, I ordered the fiberglass for the interior firewall, the thermal and sound deadening piece. I ordered that, so that'll probably be here in a few weeks. It's a build to order, so it takes a little while longer, but wait, making good progress on the kit build.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask, how far along are you on that?
Yeah, I'm going to be getting the front end put back in. I got the cross member and all that stuff. That's the big piece that the wheels essentially go, like the brake discs and everything go on, and you got your control arms and stuff. I had not put those back in because I wanted to get the interior components put in first, like the air conditioning and the heater, the heat and AC duct work. The way that car is built, you have to put the interior side in first because there's a bolt that goes through the firewall. And then once you get all that stuff put in, then you can go back in the heck?
Hey, you disappeared.
See, I think I bumped my USB cable.
Ugh. Justin's turned to the Case in Point logo.
Well, as long as you can hear, he can hear me. I'm glad I have an independent mic because at least we can keep going with the stuff. Anyway, yeah, I run an SM57 through a Focusrite. It's the Focusrite interface. It's a nice one. So anyway, with the kit build, yeah, I'm putting in interior parts. I got to wait until that part comes in now. And then I can, once I, cause it's really just body fasteners. You push it in and you just clip it down. Then you keep going. I'll get the steering column put back in and the, like I said, the heat and the AC controls and also the rest of the internal wiring. And I have all the carpet. I need to order a headliner, but that's going to be last. So yeah, I mean, there's really not a whole lot going on in that car. Like electrically, it's, the circuits are pretty basic because it's an older car. So once I get that piece for the interior firewall, that car is going to just fly together like nothing. So
that's cool.
I'll have to get the dash hooked up. I'll get the car, the dash is going to talk just like on the show, and I can program it to do pretty much anything I want. Even the functionality of the car, the switch pod buttons, I can actually have a functioning, the cowl induction is going to be hooked up to a relay, which when I push the turbo boost button, it's actually going to give me a horsepower boost. So when I'm going down the highway, that damper will open up on the cowl induction. You'll hear a bunch of air go whoosh. It goes in there. Whoo, you're gone.
That's cool.
And that car is so aerodynamic. It just slices through the wind. I mean, they used wind tunnel testing to actually, they used an aircraft wind tunnel to actually develop the body lines of that car to get the lowest drag coefficient possible. So
yeah,
the car looks fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say that it looks very sleek and cool.
I love it. It's one of the coolest. It's one of the coolest body designs ever made as far as I'm concerned. So
yeah, no, that's awesome.
Like a Studebaker, but I like a very aerodynamic car. So
that's so cool.
I want to touch with you real quick before we wrap this up. I want to touch on you real quick with the, now are you, you're doing, what types of airbrush are you using? What are you using for paint products? Are you just using the like the Apple Barrel stuff, or what are you using the acrylic paints, or are you using enamels? I mean, enamels got to be pretty noxious.
Mm-hmm. So I'm currently using fabric paints because flexibility and a lot of it's not water based, but it's water soluble. So, it's not toxic at all. So that's a huge plus too, because another issue that people come across, it's part of the process of building, but a lot of materials or components or just stuff in general can be pretty toxic or not nice to your body. You know, like as far as the type of foam you use for the costumes, it's a EVA foam. I don't know what the letters mean exactly, but it's like a closed cell type of foam. And there's like different densities of the foams. And when you're, you know, you cut your pieces to whatever shape you want to manipulate it to maintain shapes. But when it comes to like sanding it, I usually use like a Dremel to, you know, get intricate shapes or, you know, get detailing into it. And all those particulates, just once you, if you get that into your lungs, it's really difficult to get them out. So, you know, being safe about having protection, where, you know, like breathing masks and stuff while you're working on the stuff is very important. So at least with the paints, knowing that they're not toxic, I don't have to worry about, you know, breathing in minus years off of my life from breathing this stuff. So, you know, like I said too, like, it's great that for, when I'm, after I finish painting, I use a brush. I have like several paintbrush sizes for either, you know, whether it's mass painting, you know, painting big chunks of like pieces, or smaller brushes for finer details, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm able to easily clean the brushes off with like soap and warm water. So that helps a lot too. But I'm considering getting into, and also I use I apply the paint with paintbrushes because, you know, being that I live in New York City, I don't have easy access to an outdoor area where I can use, say, like spray paints and stuff. But I've seen options where you can get, I don't know what it's called exactly, but you can essentially make your own spray paint. It's like a can that I guess you pump in air to simulate the air pressure you'd normally get from
The propellant.
But it's not like a propellant, it's all air based. So
right, you know, but you get the pressure you need to atomize the paint, if you will.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, you get the benefits of using air propelled paint without the, you know, toxic stuffs too. And you know, so I'm exploring like possibly using that. And also my father a while ago gave me a sort of like a starter airbrush set. So I'd like to start using that to see if it helps with certain things. So but yeah, that's what I normally use. Especially so like with the fabric paints, I was saying before, it's very flexible, and it that's super helpful, especially with the EVA foam. It has a certain degree of like give and flex. So you don't want to use paint that like I used to use acrylic paints, which in theory sounds like it would work great because, you know, acrylics, it's sort of not plastic based, but you would think, you know, it sort of would give some sort of flexibility. But what would happen instead was that as like, you know, you put certain parts of your cosplay on, or, you know, helmets or whatever, after a while the paint starts cracking and you get flecks of paint coming off, and which doesn't look nice. Especially, you know, mid show, you take a helmet off, put it back on, and there's like cracks all over the place on it. So it's not a good look.
Well, so, yeah, too, because like really acrylics are really good for like wood products. And like if you're like, hey, today we're going to paint a mallard duck, you know, and it's not going to be moving, it's just going to sit on a shelf. It's perfect for that. And it soaks into the wood and all that. So,
right. So
they're really good. I know some guys that have used those acrylic paints. They, you know, they reduce it down with just a non-toxic thinner. You can just go to Walmart or something or craft store and pick that stuff up. It's really good for redoing like painting action figures and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to do customs, I know some guys, if you're on a, you know, you want to do the low rent version, you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, because like say paints you would use for action figures, you know, you don't have a certain level of like flexibility that you would need, say for like,
well, costume, it's going to sit on a shelf. You're not going to be, it's not going to be like something a kid's going to play with.
Right. So, and also too, another benefit of like the paints that I use is that, you know, you can thin out the paints with water instead of using some like solvent or anything like that. So It's very, you know, very people safe. There's also like different companies where like the company I use, I think they're called Jacquard, and they're known for like really high quality, like fabric paints, but they can tend to be expensive. But the paints are very dense, so you can just thin them out a little bit with water, just to have them last a little longer. But yeah, then there's also other companies where they make paint specifically for costuming and cosplaying. So, but yeah, that's basically what I use. Yeah, it's just regular paint application. Then once that dries off, you put like several layers, depending on if you want a more opaque look or if you want to have some of the material show underneath, which I don't know why, but some people do that. But then you can weather on top of that using similar paints, or I've seen people on YouTube using sort of like certain oil paints, like, because I guess like you get like really nice weathering effects using that, and then seal it off with paint sealer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a few steps, but yeah, that's what I normally use for paint.
Excellent.
Yeah, man.
Well, I think we got a lot of maybe some more in-depth, at least an in-depth dialogue for how you're doing cosplay suits. And maybe if there's people out there, I'm sure there's people out there who would love to dip their toe in that pool. And I think it's great how you've got a lot of projects under your belt and they look fantastic. Again, you can go on Ponch's. Yeah, absolutely. And you can go on Ponch's Instagram page and check those out. I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, to me, this is me, humble. I think that they're pretty much like top of the notch prop quality stuff. Like, I know there's a forum out there. I think it's still out there on the internet. It's called the UFP. Yeah, the UPF, excuse me, United Prop Forum or something like that.
Something like that.
But it's called it's the UPF. It's an old internet forum where like people can, they got some funny stories on there. I know I used to work with a guy who actually used to make his own Stormtrooper outfits, and they look fantastic. And he did a bunch of different cosplay stuff. And he'd fly around the country going to different places. And the thing is that they've got some stories on there about like when they met celebrities and like which ones are nice and which ones were actually absolute jerks. Some of the shows that they've gone to. It's interesting stuff. I'll have to go see if it's still around, but.
Yeah.
In the age of social media, they've canceled forums and just because this is old stuff. We don't do that like that anymore. Preserve the information so we can go read the stuff. There's some of us that still like to read. It's called reading English text, So, but anyway, it's a separate show in and of itself. Yeah. But yeah, what I would just like, I'd just like to say, though, Ponch, thanks for giving us some detail into what you do.
Yeah, no problem, man. Anytime. And what's great about, like the cosplay, I guess, community. I don't really like saying that term much, but I guess, there's no other term I can think of. But especially like once, like what was weird for me was that since Shocker wasn't a character that's normally done in costume, when it does show up, people tend to notice it more. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'll get instances where people would follow me and say, I'm from Germany. I saw your pictures online. I'm thinking, Germany, that's odd, but it's still cool anyway. But it's just, it's interesting how, you have sort of like that type of presence, even though there's like, I'm sure tons of people, but it's just, at the same time, it's more like a very self-contained type of community. But what's great is the way people are willingly able to, willing to share information, because, we're only going to help benefit each other from sharing information, help people. I've had people ask me how I did certain things, and I've reached out to other cosplayers and see how they do their things too. So it's one of those things that there's such a wealth of information out there, and people are just very willing to share that information with each other. And so yeah, if you're like on the fence of learning that stuff or just starting it, there's like so much stuff out there for you to, whether it's YouTube videos or forums if they exist, or social media. There's a lot of it, so just don't be afraid to give it a shot if you want to.
Yeah, go for greatness if you're gonna do this too. That way that's you're right. Saving your money and do the best you can. Don't settle for second, And if you know you can do better, do better. Take a little extra time on something so it doesn't look like I said, a first grade art project you did in the first grade. So Adobe pots or something, you know, but Adobe Pinch. Remember the Pinch pots? Remember those things when you're like a little kid? Let's do Adobe, you know. And but anyway, it's funny because I was thinking, like you're saying, talking about obscure characters no one does. Okay, well, there you go. It's settled. I'm going to do a Rick O'Lee cosplay. Your generator's been hit. Or maybe we'll do Lot Dodd. You know, no one talks about Lot Dodd. You know, maybe there are Lot Dodd fans out there. I'm not sure.
Never know, man. Could do a Nuclear Man. You know, I don't see Nuclear
Man. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with Nuclear Man. The only problem is I'm not tall enough and I'm out of shape.
Well, you can still
I'll get stilts. I'll put stilts in the boots.
Yeah, it's blame it on the multiverse. You can be a multiverse version of Nuclear Man somewhere.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and, well, I'm sorry, DC. That's what's their version of?
Yeah, they got DC multiverse.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. In some multiverse out there, you have a short, barrel shaped Nuclear Man.
Yeah, he's built like Puck, because that's how I'm built.
Exactly.
I'm not that short, but yeah, I'm a stocky fellow.
Yeah.
So, yes, built like a tree trunk. Like I said, it's a little tight across the chest. So, anyway. All right, that's going to wrap it up, folks. Check us out on Instagram, Audio Boom, Spotify, any other place you can think of. And we're going to be getting some more episodes out there. I have actually got another episode before this I haven't published yet. So getting back in the swing of things. So we got some things in the pipe. Stay tuned for that. And so at any rate, thanks again, Ponch, for being here. And
wow, man.
We'll have more stuff to share on the way, our projects we got in. And check out the Mix Sauce podcast with Ian, Paul, and Matt. Check out Fireside Chat with Ryan McCormick. Check out I Hope This Finds You Well. Those are my three main podcasts. And also check out my Pod Rock podcast with my co-host Ben Stape. If you like rock and roll, if you like talking about music, creation, gear, practicing, guitar technique, anything music related, check out that one. And that's also on Twitter. And we're not doing Facebook on that one, but we are on Twitter because we don't like Facebook. So you can shake your head all you want. I think it's terrible.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I don't like Facebook.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I personally think Facebook sucks, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, I quit using it a long time ago. It's nothing but despair and arguing on there. It's like, that's not my style, so. I like you guys. I like the people listening to my show. And stay safe out there and enjoy the rest of your weekend whenever this may drop. It's probably going to be a weekend when it drops. So enjoy yourself, everybody. And we'll catch you next time.